Is it time for a second vote on Brexit? Former UKIP leader Nigel Farage says he is close to backing another EU referendum to end the whinging and whining of anti-Brexit campaigners. Mr Farage told Channel 5's The Right Stuff that a fresh vote could kill off the Remain campaign for a generation.
Hey, my mind is actually changing on this.
Go on.
What is for certain is that the Cleggs, the Blairs, the Adonises will never, ever, ever give up. They will go on whinging and whining and moaning all the way through this process. So maybe, just maybe, I'm reaching the point of thinking that we should have a second referendum.
On what?
On EU membership.
The whole thing?
Yes, of course, of course. Unless you want to have a multiple choice referendum.
No, I'm amazed.
I think if we had a second referendum on EU membership, we'd kill it off for a generation. The percentage that would vote to leave next time would be very much bigger than it was last time round.
We may just finish
the whole thing off.
SDLP MLA Claire Hannah is her party's Brexit spokesperson. Good morning to you, Claire.
Good morning.
And commentator Martin Daubney. Good morning to you, Martin.
Hi, Vinny. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you too. 030-30-80-55-55 at home. Depending maybe on how you voted, would you like the chance to do it again, maybe to reinforce how you did it before, or perhaps to change your mind? We should say in today's Daily Telegraph, Nigel Farage, he slightly qualified his comments from yesterday. He says he doesn't actually want another referendum, but that the best defence of our victory, he says, is to be alive to the possibility of having to do it all over again. Should we do so, Claire?
Well, yes, I think we probably should, because all of those who say, you know, the people have spoken, you can't then say, let them never speak again, because, one, it was a very big question. The quality of any decision is related to the information that went in, and I think there's an acknowledgement that an enormous amount of wrong information and misleading information was going around. And I suppose the detail of how difficult and how damaging Brexit will be, not least here, is, I suppose, only coming out in a lot of ways now. So I've never been in a position where I could say I agree with Nigel Farage before, but I suppose even a broken clock is right twice.
How realistic is this, though, Claire? Because there is one huge flaw in this discussion, which is if the EU believed for a moment that the UK might have a second referendum, when it comes to the talks that they're having at the minute and our exit package or whatever you want to call it, surely they would give us the worst package possible to try and encourage us to vote to remain if that referendum happened.
Well, no, I don't really buy that narrative. I mean, I think any political negotiation, a negotiator can be going here, lads, I've got to get this past the people at home, or I've got to get it past my party. That's always a factor in negotiations. And indeed, if you look, for example, down south, any EU negotiation, any treaty, they have to have it ratified by at least the Dáil, and sometimes by referendum. So every country can say, look, oh, yes, I know that's going to be a bit shaky for me. So, no, I don't think that's the case. And actually, if you look, there are a lot of, self-victimisers in the Brexit camp who want to imply that, you know, Europe's being mean to them and so on. But everything that the UK has done, it has done to itself. And I think the European Union, its key interest is the European Union. And I think if Britain wanted to stay a part of that, I think many people would be pleased about that. They're not going to beg them to come back.
Let's bring in Martin Daubney at this point. So a once-in-a-lifetime vote, Martin, but let's do it again. Maybe that was just a dry run.
Yeah, I'm one of the very few mainstream journalists who call Brexit correctly. I voted Brexit myself, and I came to that decision by spending a lot of time outside of the media bubble. Nobody in the media got this right. Nobody in politics called this right. And that's because they live in a vacuum outside of the real world. Once again, we are finding ourselves faced with the prospects. I think Nigel Farage, you know, doesn't want a second referendum. I certainly don't. I spent the last 19 months sort of telling Remainers to sort of stop crying about it. Democracy has been served. Yet we find ourselves in a position now where Europe is trying to screw us to the floor, give us the worst possible deal. That has to go through a UK Parliament and the House of Lords, who would do their utmost to make sure it fails. And so I think this is a call to arms, a recognition of the very real prospect that we will be forced into this, not because we want to, but because the deal will be so terrible that we will have to accept
it. Do you think the vote would be different if we did it again, Martin?
Yes, I do, and I think it would be stronger in favour of Leave. And that is because, yes, you can certainly say that younger people will be motivated to vote, to leave. Very well-funded, very motivated campaigns that we have. And I think that's another one of Nigel's points. You know, the leavers have kind of rested on their laurels. This has done business, and now it's not. But one thing I think the British people despise is what your previous, what your caller here is saying, the fact that we made a decision based on lies. We made a decision because we were stupid. And being frog-marched to the polling stations again because we weren't capable of making decisions. I think, well,
Martin. What about, for example, you know what I'm going to say, that $350 million a week, that battle bus that was created around parts of the UK, suggesting that would be pumped back into the NHS, that has been proven to just not be true. So do you accept that there has been some misinformation along the way before the referendum?
There have been misinformation on both sides. I mean, Project Fear showed us, you know, George Osborne, you know, Mark Carney, the governor of the Bank of England, you know, the two supposedly foremost economic experts in the UK, got everything spectacularly wrong. It was a campaign fought on negativity that backfired. And also another thing that backfired was this feeling that old people sold our nation down the river with their little England, small-minded, kind of xenophobic thought patterns, a huge disrespect for the elderly who fought for this country and rebuilt it after the war. You know, I think if this is going to happen again, we will see a repetition of the outcome. Okay. And hopefully a Union Jack sock stuffed in the mouth of Tony Blair, Lord Adonis and Nick Clegg forever to silence them.
That's quite an image you paint there, Martin. So what do you think at home this morning? Would you want to vote again? Or is this really democracy? You know, we do a vote, many don't like it, and we call for it to be changed. You have Claire Hannah there from the SLP, and many others are doing the same, to be fair. Claire, in her press release yesterday, said, bring it on, 030 30 80 55 55. Yes, Claire.
Well, I'm curious about whether Martin would think that we in Northern Ireland are in the real world or in the media bubble that he talks about. But he says that the deal will be so awful that we will be forced to vote again. Then why is that? And is Martin able to articulate how this can be done well? Perhaps, I mean, I'm happy to give him as much space as he wants to outline how Brexit...
Well, he is there.
Martin, can you explain how Brexit is going to be delivered without creating either a border across Ireland or a border down the Irish Sea? If you can solve that, if you can solve that in a way that no other Brexiter has solved that, then maybe we don't need a second referendum. And you're right, you pointed out, Vinnie, the £350 million for the NHS spoofs and the fact that we know that the same amount of money went to fixing Brexit as additional money went to the NHS in the last budget. We were told by some of the Brexiters that, no, of course we wouldn't need to leave the single market. We were told that it
would
be
let's get Martin back in.
In the world.
Martin.
Well, the Northern Ireland border policy, I think, is something that caught everybody by surprise.
It didn't catch me by surprise.
Why did it catch so many people in Westminster by surprise, Martin? It was almost like they suddenly realised, oh yes, Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland, there is an invisible line in between the two.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm familiar with your country. My son was conceived in Belfast. I'm an immense sort of lover of your country. I know that this is troublesome. No one thought it's always coming in Westminster, which might actually reinforce my earlier point of how detached they are from the real world. It's created all sorts of fallout, your border being one of the issues. But I don't think that these kind of oversights will persuade the public to vote differently. And I think we will see a reinforcement and certainly a contempt for democracy, which is what we've heard consistently from Remainers since the referendum was born through. And that's what we're hearing again, is that you don't understand, you're stupid. Well, if it comes down to it and the gloves are off again, let's have it. And I predict a huge division. And we're still falling out about this. Communities are still fractured to this day. And here we go again. Do we really want this again? I think it's a foreboding. It's a foreboding prospect.
Is it really democracy, Claire, if this did happen? You know, we have a vote, many don't like it, and therefore it comes around that we do this again. Or do you think that misinformation was so strong that it must be done again?
Well, in many respects, I do agree with Martin. A lot of people, and understandably, will say, look, we've told you once, and we'll tell you again. And there will certainly be people probably who who switched their vote one way or the other and are frustrated to be asked again. But again, in any general election, we're asked again, decisions are reversible, particularly when there is such misinformation. If you look, and I know people sneer about it, but if you look down south when they had the first Nice referendum, they took on board and they made a couple of really quite fundamental changes. They put a protective clause in about EU defence. They put a protective clause in about ratification by Parliament there. You can change some of the deal and you can address some of the things. And see, a lot of the people who voted for Brexit, who are at the sharp end of the labour market and who do feel you know, that they're being starved of resources and so on, then all very many of those things, it's a bit like the blue passports, Vinny. You know, the EU didn't make Britain do that. Britain could have had blue passports for the last 40 years.
That's a whole different discussion there. I want to bring in some callers at this point.
A lot of the difficulties in people's lives were blamed on the EU and maybe on EU visitors. If there's a bit more honesty and some of the resources that communities desperately need for the NHS and for schools and services, if some of those are released from Brexit mitigation, then people might be prepared to change.
Okay. What do you think at home this morning? So Wales voted to leave, Scotland to stay, Northern Ireland, let's remember, voted to stay, and London voted to stay, whereas England, of course, voted to leave. Peter in West Belfast. Good morning, Peter.
Morning, Billy. Funny, I think because the vote, I think we'll have to come out. Britain has to come out. Now, if they want to vote later on to come back in, then they should be able to do that. But they have to come out. The people voted to come out. So there's no point in saying we're going to vote to remain before we come out, because you're not carrying out the democratic wishes of the people of the country. And that must happen.
What about that? The claims, Peter, that there was so much misinformation around at the time that people really weren't totally sure what they were voting for. And that's on both sides.
Well, absolutely, on both sides. So it's probably as much a fact that the vote one way as it did the other. So it becomes known by it. I mean, if you want to go top Trumps, World War III was claimed by David Cameron. So if you want to go top Trumps and who told the most lies, I think the Remain say told the bigger one.
I don't think that's true. I worked in that camp for a year and I never heard that claim. Well, if you can cite it, if you can demonstrate where and when it was said, it's more believable.
I heard him say take my word. I heard him say World War III. It could bring on World War III. Now, is that not a bigger whopper that trumps everything?
Okay, Peter, thank you. Willie in Portland Own. Good morning, Willie. We don't get a lot of callers from Portland Own.
How are you, Vanny?
Not bad. What do you think?
No, Vanny, well, I said to you, your researcher there, the people voted to take him out, so they did. Actually, a man going into the bookies and putting on a bet, and if the horse gets beat, he goes in the bookies, I want my money back. And are they going to keep voting and voting until such times as they get the result they want?
You could look at it, Willie, even in terms of elections. You know, when we vote for, let's say, Claire Hannah or the SDLP, DEP, whatever, and when it comes to that vote, if you're not happy, if you live in an area in Northern Ireland in this case, and you feel like, really, did I know enough about that party to cast that vote? Or should I really, or their policies indeed, or should we do it again? And therefore, surely that's the whole point of democracy. And then, of course, on the other side, Willie, to contradict that altogether, you know, people that say, you know, we did not know enough about this at the time to make a fully informed decision whether to stay or to leave.
Well, at the end of the day, Vanny, there was lies came from both sides. I don't care what way you cut it. I said to your researcher, I think what it is, the people that I know that voted, and I voted to take them out, it's the way the benefits has been going out of the country to other national countries. I put it to you that as we see four foolish fellas working to us here. Good fellas, not a thing wrong with them, good workers, and they were here since before I started. And we had then, we had guys in from Slovakia, and there was one guy, and he was going home, back to Slovakia, given his notice, and somebody told him if he stayed an extra 4 weeks that he would get his full family tax credits for 3 children back in Slovakia. He stayed the 4 weeks and left, come back here just prior to the year being up to pick up his cheque for the family tax credits. And when people see that there, that that's an Ireland to them, because the money's not even staying in the country. If we went to any other country in Europe, we wouldn't get that, so we wouldn't. And that's why the health services and the condition it has now as well.
Okay, we'll leave it at that for now, Willie. We're going to move on to talk about one element of the health service. Claire Hannah, thank you. And Martin Daubney, thank you as well.